Call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
So this year, Radio Adelaide's Sam Smith joined me to discuss all the news over in Australia. I picked out two highlights from our time speaking together. First up, one of the big scandals of the year was fruit contamination when needles were found in strawberries. The person who allegedly contaminated the fruit is being processed by the Australian legal system, but this incident went on to be copycatted with other forms of fruit and has had an effect on the Australian industry for strawberries. And this is kind of a question I never thought I would really be asking, but why are people messing with fruit in Australia?
Well, I can't tell you why, but I can tell you it's a really strange situation. And I think there's been 100 cases of people putting in needles into strawberries that originated. It started with a man in Brisbane who bit into a strawberry and he felt something hard, and his knee-jerk reaction was to just swallow the strawberry. And then he looked and there was half a needle left in a strawberry. So he ran off to emergency, and from then there's been 100 reports, strawberries, apples, bananas and even mangoes most recently with some form of methyl in them, but a lot of them have been reported to be hoaxes.
Wow. I mean, that is completely horrifying that it's happening.
It's such a strange thing.
Yeah, I can't understand why anyone would want to do that. But what are the penalties for doing that at the minute? I've just heard someone's announced, Scott Morrison.
Yeah, so he originally, it was called food contamination, mm-hmm. where people would face 10 years in prison. But now Scott Morrison's come out with a new law, which is reckless fruit contamination, and that will see people facing 15 years in prison. And then he's also raising the original law to 15 years as well. And there's even talks of people doing hoax on social media could even face some form of penalty. So it's pretty serious. They've taken a pretty firm hand on this.
Yeah, the hoax on social media, what's happening there?
Yeah, so people have been posting online saying they found metal and their fruit and things like that, but it's really difficult for the government, because they have, even though they have 100 police officers working on this, which is insane, like it's not a funny story because there is unfortunately a lot of people have been affected by it, but it's just kind of something that you think could only be made up. But 100 officers are working on this case, 60 of which are detectives, and when people are putting online all these hoaxes, it really makes them just start all over again. It really wastes their time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then later in the year, Sam told me about the arrival of an alt-right speaker, Gavin McInnes, in Australia on a tour. His viewpoint constructed a hyper-masculinity in which violence and heartbreak were the key features of what it meant to be a man. With these alt-right speakers, free speech was a huge talking point this year. It left people on both sides of the matter, some debating that free speech is an integral part of our political systems and individuality. Others pointed out the stark contrast between hate speech and free speech. Sam told me about what it meant to be welcoming these kinds of political speakers into Australia. Word on the street at the minute is you have another alt-right speaker stopping on in Australia on a world tour.
Yes, so his name is Gavin McInnes, and many people might know him as the founder of Vice, but he's also the founder of a group called Proud Boys Fraternity, which sounds as very masculine as it appears.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does sound very dominated towards men, I'll be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
This is kind of a long line of alt-right speakers you've had coming through Australia, though. So Jordan Peterson, Lauren Southern, Stefan Molyneux, and some of these people have sold out stadiums in Australia. So I'm just kind of curious, is this a sign of these kinds of mentalities gaining traction and support and being more representative in Australia than before?
Well, I really hope not. And I think, I don't know if necessarily these people coming here think shows that alt-right kind of ideology and movement is growing. I think maybe from the outside perspective, Australia appears to be as what McInnes calls it, the last vestige of masculinity. And another alt-right political commentator and writer, Milo Yiannopoulos, has called Australia the last remaining bastion of free speech. And I guess Australians are known to be frank and kind of funny in the way that they speak, but we still have standards here, and we still believe that people have the right to be who they are. And maybe with someone like Pauline Hanson, who does gain a lot of media attention just because so many people find her actions disgusting, maybe they think she's representative of the majority of Australia, when I, living here, I don't believe it is.
Mm. I'm just quoting something he said here, but he was talking about how to be a man, you have to have four things happen. You have to have your heart broken, break a heart, beat someone up, and be beaten up. So is this kind of, when you define masculinity, generalizing masculinity in Australia, would this kind of sum up what Australian masculinity is?
I don't believe so. There are stories where people will brawl, will fight, but nothing like what I've heard of what the Proud Boys do. So recently as last week even, and McInnes went and did a Japanese socialist, he went to do, sorry, a reenactment of the assassination of the leader of the Japanese Socialist Party in 1960. And after the event, McInnes walked outside with a sword, and his fans, I guess, started brawling, and they engaged in so much violence just three blocks away from where the venue was, and they were using homophobic slurs, and the event actually attracted individuals associated with skinhead gangs like 211 Boot Boys and Battalion 49. And seeing that kind of violence just so open, it's not something we see in Australia, and seeing people who, I guess, call themselves modern Western men when really they do come across as white supremacists. We don't see that quite out in the open in Australia. Maybe it is online and forums and everything, but we're yet to see something like that come here, and we don't really want it here either.
Mm. Is there a push politically to have these kinds of speakers banned from Australia?
Yes, so speaking on McInnes, Shadow Immigration Minister Shane Newman called for his visa to be denied on grounds that he poses a significant risk to Australia, and that risk being, like I said, spreading those ideologies, spreading that violence. And McInnes isn't only violent. He doesn't believe that there's a pay gap. He believes the Me Too movement is perpetuated by actresses, and they're getting themselves involved in these situations by essentially being prostitutes. So he's got really damaging views, not only in violence and in terms of how really to be a man, but by degrading women as well.
Mm. And of course, this all comes under the guise of free speech and this kind of conversation we have that comes up between what is the difference between free speech and hate speech. So I'm just curious, for Australia, what kind of legislation exists for these concepts?
So when we're talking about free speech, there is something where you are not allowed to speak in a discriminatory way. So you can't be hateful, basically, based on race, sexuality, everything like that. So if you were to go out and yell out homophobic slurs, for one, that's not free speech here. That's hateful speech. And it can be kind of confusing sometimes. We spoke about how schools are allowed the right to turn away students based on their sexuality. Mm. But when you have protection against calling people homophobic slurs, it really does kind of blur the lines between what is free speech and what is free actions as well. So it is a confusing one for some Australians, I believe.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.